In the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, dear fellow disciples of the Lamb, you don't know me, at least not as well as you know my more famous brother. You know some of our partners probably better. Grew up on the Galilean shore, fishermen. Good times. Great work. Maybe you remember that what's in your gospel lesson today, the sermon text, was not the first time that you hear about us meeting Jesus. It was actually in the other three gospel accounts. Matthew, one of my fellow disciples, Mark, who really preached Peter's sermons or recorded them in his gospel, and then Luke, the doctor. Luke tells about another time, actually, that followed this, when maybe you remember that the crowds were pressing and Jesus needed to preach, so he asked my brother for our boat. We go out in the water and Jesus could preach out across like an amphitheater with the people sitting on that north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was just awesome. And then Jesus says to my brother, "Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." And my brother says, "No way. We've been fishing all night. Nothing?" "Okay, Lord. You said so." Remember what happened? Almost sank our boat. Our partners came over, almost sank their boat too. My brother felt so guilty. "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." It's when Jesus said, "You will be fishers of men." He feels guilty, my brother. And the Lord showed us the kindness of God, which is what John the Baptist was pointing to when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Kindness. I was there. There were my brother and our partners too. We were there the next day when John saw Jesus coming, and I just have to tell you, this is not one of my partner brothers because he never mentions his own name in his gospel. It's called the Gospel of John, but he refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. Whenever you see John in this gospel account, it means John the Baptist. So think of John the Baptist. And we're there with him. And we've been listening. We were there the day before when he was talking to those scribes and Pharisees that had come out of the city. Everybody was coming out. That's why we went down there too. He was baptizing, John the Baptist was baptizing there next to the Jordan River in kind of a desert region. We heard about it up in Galilee. Everybody was hearing about it because we were like a starving nation. You heard in your Old Testament lesson today that Isaiah had prophesied the coming of the Messiah, and that was 700 years before us. There was something in there about the light of the nation shining my salvation to the end of the earth. And now, finally, 700 years after Isaiah, there were some prophets in between, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then there was Malachi. But 400 years of silence. No prophets. You just can't imagine how excited we were to hear up in Galilee, there's a prophet. He's dressed like old Elijah. He's wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. We had to go. We actually had to leave our fishing boats behind. Best business decision we ever made, honestly. We left our boats behind. Some guys would be thinking about how many catches they were missing, how much money they were losing by going. Oh man, salvation to the ends of the earth. We came and found what we really needed more than we could ever have dreamed. We were standing there the next day when John picks him out of the crowd. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we knew what he was talking about. That guilt of childhood, Lord, remember not the sins and offenses of my youth and my rebellious ways, but according to your love, remember me, for you are good. The kind words left unsaid, the harshness, the judgmentalism, the sin, the guilt. And he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, carries it away. Oh, you got to know, we Jews, we had some thoughts on that. This reached into something in our calendar way back to the time of Moses. Every year they call it Yom Kippur. You still talk about that in America today. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Our Father took us once to Jerusalem so we could experience it. The priest took a goat and laid all the sins of our nation on the goat. And another Levite then led the goat away, and we were watching our sins walk away. And then they had watchtowers that would report back. He's come to this one, he's come to that one, he's come to that one, all the way out to the last watchtower on the edge of the wilderness. And our sins were gone. And they never came back. And John says, look, the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world. There he is. Oh, you got to know. We were so glad we left our fishing boats behind. We were so glad to hear John say that. And then he actually admitted, because my brother and I would never have been able to pick him out of the crowd. I mean, it was like Isaiah said. He had no form or comeliness. There was nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Nothing like a halo, nothing on his head. He just looked like everybody else. And John said that. I would not have known who he was if he had not shown me. I would not have recognized him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water said, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this myself and have testified that this is the Son of God. I'm sure glad that the Lord gave John a way to recognize him so that we could see him too. John saw that when he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And Jesus received in that anointing the power to go into his ministry. It's the same Holy Spirit that we finally received in that miraculous outpouring on Pentecost when finally everything came together, when we could finally see it. And you have that power in your baptism too. Because there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The water and the Word and the Spirit all go together in one baptism. You have that power. John said, look, the Lamb of God, the one I was talking about, the one who I said was coming after me, he outranks me because he existed before me. That was so great. Existed before me. This is eternal God. The Son of God. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, but he's the Son of God by virtue of his divine essence, his forever godliness and divinity. We later heard Jesus say about John the Baptist something that, of all the prophets, John was the greatest because he was the last prophet of the Old Testament, and he was the one, after all those years of saying he was coming, just centuries back to the very beginning, John was the one that got to point and say, look, the Lamb of God. Jesus said, of those who were born of women, there was none greater than John. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So John was the greatest disciple, the greatest prophet. But he says, this one is better. This one surpasses the best of the best. And you, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We were also there the next day when John was standing and two of his disciples, heard him say this again. Look, the Lamb of God. It was a different message than what he had been preaching. Oh man, that John, John the Baptist, he could preach in a way that was so fearless, especially to the powerful religious leaders. Matthew recorded that in his gospel account, and John said it. I heard him say it too, and it just kind of pinned them back a little bit, the scribes and the Pharisees. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you, out of these stones, the Lord can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Whatever tree does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's what John was usually saying. This time, I was standing there with another disciple, you know, the one that never mentions himself by name. If you guessed, probably. But he said again, look, the Lamb of God. Then he looked at us. It was as if John the Baptist was saying to us too, you know, I never came to gather my own disciples around myself. He's here now. Look, the Lamb of God, he's here now. What are you doing here with me? He must increase, I must decrease. We're done here. You follow him. So we did. We followed him, and I'll never forget that question he asked us that every one of you should ask yourself today too. Jesus saw us following him, and then he turned around and he said, who are you looking for? Or what are you looking for? What are you looking for when you come to Sunday school, when you go to Bible class, when you come to worship? What are you looking for? Is it some answer to a frustration in life? Some way to get your life together? Some answer to one of life's questions so that you can make a decision? Some sign that you maybe think that you need? What are you looking for? If you come with your own agenda, you're likely to be disappointed, and you would miss out on the blessings that John was pointing to when he said, look, the Lamb of God. He liked our answer. He asked, what are you looking for? We said, Rabbi, where are you staying? We just wanted to stay with him. We just wanted to stay with the Lamb who took our sins away, the one who finally came after being foretold for all those centuries and daily sacrifices and the Yom Kippur, the Passover Lamb. There he was. We stayed with him all day. And when he called us again on the Sea of Galilee, we stayed with him for 3 years, growing, living, grieving when he died. And we didn't understand until our epiphany at Easter and Pentecost. And then we didn't just live with him. We lived for him till our last breath. All but John, all of us, except John the disciple, sealed our witness with our blood. Not like martyrs from other religions where they're looking for power or they're looking for fame or they're looking for land and riches. We had nothing. And what nothing we had, we gave up because all we wanted was the Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Where are you staying? We asked. He gave us one of the greatest one-line sentences for all those hard questions because the next day, my fellow disciple Philip used this on another disciple, Nathanael, otherwise known as Bartholomew. And Jesus said it to us. He just said, come and you will see. Come and see. So we came. We saw. We stayed. We grew. We witnessed. We died. And we live again with him eternally. The Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. By now, you've probably figured out who I am. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I was one of the two. We guessed the other one was John. And the first thing I did was to find my brother Simon Peter and tell him, we found the Messiah. When you find him, you really have to admit, it's the other way around. He found you. As he does, he seeks the lost and brings them home like a lamb on his shoulders. And when you find the Messiah, whatever you thought you had in your agenda is nothing compared to what he brings in blessings in every aspect of life, even in the worst of times, working everything out for your good, turning it into a blessing, no matter how bad it may seem. Turn all to good that seems most ill. Help us our calling to fulfill. You come to him. You're looking at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Say it with me. Look, again, look, the Lamb of God. Amen.